Well, good morning. And I'd like for us to maybe look at a passage of scripture that we've looked at real recently over in Luke, the 15th chapter. It's a story of the prodigal son, but we'd like to look at it from a different angle, different lesson we'd like to get from it. And here's the beginning. I'd kind of give you a basis of where my inspiration comes from, primarily for this morning. But I was yesterday, as we were setting in the wedding, I just was thinking about the preparation that had been done for that, and the anticipation. You know, as we all know, a wedding is a culmination of an acquaintance escalating into a friendship to affection, and it culminates at the marriage, and it's something that we look forward to, and both sides of the idea is, and the hope is that both sides of the family is looking forward to that union and putting their blessing and their sanction, and they're all coming. That's what I witnessed yesterday. There was no animosity. There was no hurt feelings being displayed. It's just like everybody that was just happy to mingle their families together, and it's just the bride and the groom were, I guess you could say, they were kind of glowing from the support of not only their families, but everyone that came to be a witness to that ceremony, and I think they were, you might say, relishing that, and they should be. It's a real mile marker. It's a real milestone in their life. And as I was thinking about all of the preparation that went in there and the anticipation and this all coming together, I happen to think there's a lot of preparation that happens at a couple other times in our lives that one of them does us no good, and the other time in our life we're benefited by it, but we don't have a clue about what's going on. And those two times are when we come into this world and when we exit this world. When a little child is anticipated, especially the first child, there's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of planning, there's maybe a place for the baby to sleep is prepared, and maybe a room is repainted or decorated or rearranged, and there's little clothes that's being gifted or accumulated, and there's things that the mom and daddy don't need, but they know the baby's going to need. And they, all of this preparation, and when we come into this world as a little baby, we're oblivious to all of that. And another time is when we exit, you know, there's those that prepare for some type of memorial service and maybe collect some stories of the past and assimilate a little history. We might call it an obituary or something like that. And a lot of things goes into it, but it really does the recipient no good. It's for the family. It's for those that's looking on. And just thinking about all of that, we, as an individual, we don't plan anything for our entrance, and we don't plan anything for our exit. We do plan many times for our marriage. We're part of the planning committee, I guess you would say. But I'd like to look here at Luke 15th chapter. And we're going to read specifically the 22nd verse. But we know the story. I won't read it for the sake of being tedious. But a man had two sons, and the younger one asked for his portion. And he left, and he spent it in a way in activities that was not something his father approved of. He was in a foreign land, a place that probably where there was no way to his father to know just how bad his circumstances was. But he came to a place that he chose to go back to his father. And we're thankful for that. It was beginning in verse 20, chapter 15 of Luke. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So his attitude was, I'm not anticipating any kind of welcome other than, would you let me sleep in some place that would give me shelter, and would you allow me to have food and clothing? And I would love to have that security that I have a place that I can call my home, even though I don't really deserve it. I'm not asking to be a son. I just want to be able to be protected from the elements. I've been out there and been I've been exposed to the harshness and the vileness of the world, and I just want some stability in my life. That's the way he came back to his father. But his father wouldn't have that, and he said, but the father said to his servants, verse 22, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So I just want us to maybe stop right there and think about this is a unplanned celebration, an unplanned preparation. And this man that was the recipient, the son, the prodigal son, when he came back the correct way, I believe. We'd all acknowledge that. He came back with humility. He came back asking and seeking just food and shelter. That's really all I want, Dad. I'm not expected to even, you don't even have to tell anybody that I'm your son. I just want a place to put my shoes under the bed, so to speak. And his father immediately began to pour on blessings and began to prepare. And this man, I feel, was overjoyed to be part of that. It was a wonderful thing. I wonder sometimes what people will, you know, I don't know what my parents prepared for me to get here. I'm oblivious to it. I know by the time I got old enough to remember, I always had food and clothing and everything was there, but I don't know what they did before. And I don't know what people's going to say. I wonder sometimes what people's going to say when I'm laid out in front of everybody. What are they going to say? Are they going to say, well, old rascal, sure glad we don't have to bother with him anymore? I don't know what they're gonna say. But you know, there's times that my mind goes to things like that. And this man, he came back to his parents' place, his dad, assuming his mother was still alive, and he came back not knowing how he was going to be received, but he was received with joy and with love. Now, thinking about another place in the scripture that we have referred to probably many times. Over in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, there was a wedding. Probably a lot of similarities, maybe not exactly, but a lot of similarities to the wedding that we went to. There was preparation. They knew it was going to happen. A little different than the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he didn't know that he was coming back. In fact, the father probably had, every day, he probably had this thought, I wonder where my son is at. I wonder how it's going for him. And I wonder how many times that maybe he prayed and might have offered a sacrifice or something. Kind of, you know, Job did that for his children. Just by chance, my children are doing something that's displeasing to the Lord. I'm going to offer a sacrifice. I wonder how many times this father had said, "Lord, have mercy on my boy. I don't know what he's doing. Would you some way work it out where he could come back?" But this is different. This is a wedding. They knew they were going to get married. This is a relationship that, whether it had blossomed from acquaintance to affection or whether it had been arranged by the parents, I don't know. It could have been. But it was something that was looked forward to and it was planned. Most likely, it was there was planning done by both sides. And this man apparently had a lot of means, and he was preparing for the marriage of his son. And he had prepared quite an elaborate feast, and he had invited probably all of his impressive friends and was planning on quite a celebration. So we notice here in verse in chapter 22, we'll start maybe reading verse 8. He said, "Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." I'm going to read above that. I want to get to where verse 2. "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, telling them which were bidden, 'Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.' And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage.' So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?' And he was speechless." So, think about the setting here. Preparation, maybe months, maybe longer, of anticipating this wedding for his son. Had guests, they knew that they were being invited. This wasn't a surprise to them. And when it came down to the time, they just laughed and scoffed and, "Oh, we don't have time for that. I've got business to take care of, and I've got a crop in the field, and I can't come to this wedding. I don't have time for it." And others said, took it to the point that they were ruthless in the servants that invited. They did not respect the invitation whatsoever. And so I'm thinking about the invitation that we have to be the bride of Christ. It's not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise that we're all invited to be part of that bride for the groom. We should be part of the church now. And we should be anticipating being part of the bride in the day when we're brought in to for the marriage to be complete in eternity and to be with Jesus forever. And I wonder, you know, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like this. And, you know, I believe he was talking fairly specifically about the Jewish people rejecting him. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They had prophecies for generations that Jesus was coming and that he would be there, and they didn't accept him. They rejected him. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. In fact, they slew him. And yet, Jesus said, this king, God, sent out an invitation to the highways and hedges, and that's where the Gentiles began to be invited in to this marriage. So today, many years since Jesus walked this face of this earth, but there's been a lot of preparation. There's anticipation. There's a lot of planning for this marriage to be complete and be fulfilled. And where are we? Are we going to be one of those in the highways and hedges that don't respond? Or are we going to be one of those that are the, you know, if we've been raised coming to church and we've been exposed, I've been exposed to what I feel. I've accepted and embraced what I was taught as a small child to be truth. And by the grace of God, I've endeavored to live by it. And if we come down to the end of my way and the invitation is given for me to go on and be part of that eternal married state, will I reject it or will I be prepared? Will I accept the invitation? Thinking about now some verses over here in the Old Testament. You know, in Amos is where I'm going to go. Amos, the fourth chapter. The world around us, you know, a lot of times people say they want to go, but when they get an opportunity to go to heaven, they start backing up. And what about me? I get an opportunity to go. Am I willing? Am I ready? Or am I going to be thinking about my merchandise? Am I going to be thinking about my farm? Am I going to be thinking about the things that would distract me and keep me from being able to be part of that marriage? You know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be one of those that says, I got some farming I got to do. I got inventory I got to count, and I got product I got to take care of. And I don't have time. I don't have time for God. That's what they were saying. That's what the parable was all about. So I believe it's important for us to prepare to meet God. Many that have had an opportunity to prepare to meet him, and they've been invited just like those guests were invited to the marriage, and yet they didn't prepare. So look here in Amos. I begin reading in the first verse, and I'm not going to tell you that I can specifically adapt everything to the time that we live in or anything like that, but I believe there is some real parallels with what we're facing in our world today, and it's prophecy of where we ought to be. So it says here, hear this word, you kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches and every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in your cities and want of bread in all your places, and yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, with your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have set among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So a lot of water under the bridge, and some of us now, I'm one of those, been a lot of water under the bridge. There's been a lot of time for me to prepare, a lot of opportunity for me to respond to the dealings of the Lord. There's been a lot of opportunity for me to be able to realize that he's talking to me. Has been like a firebrand plucked out of the fire. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. I'm going to start over. I messed that one up. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. It's important for me to prepare to meet the Lord. You know, there's things that he's prepared. He's prepared to accept us. He's got a place for us. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe there's a place that goes beyond our comprehension that he has prepared for us. But am I prepared? Am I willing to go? Everybody, you know, says they want to be in heaven, but nobody wants to go when the time comes. I want to be willing to go. I want to be willing to be prepared and have my life in order, so when the time comes, it's not like, well, I got farming I got to do, got merchandise that I got to take care of. No, I want to be ready. He says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man what is his thought. He's told us what he's thinking of us. What's his thought of it? His thoughts are good and not evil, right? That's what the Bible tells us. His thoughts about us, he has good intentions for us. He wants us to be healthy spiritually. I think he wants us to be healthy naturally too, but he wants us to be healthy spiritually. He wants us to prosper in our soul. That's his thoughts. He told us his thoughts towards us. That maketh the, he said, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts is his name. He's told us what he thinks about us. He's the one that has all the capabilities, all the potential. He's able to control the things about us. And he's saying, I've been prepared a long time. He's been preparing for all of us. He's been preparing since the beginning of time for mankind to be with him in eternity. And I want to do my part. I want to be prepared. Lord, if it's my time, I want to be ready to go. I want to be acceptable in your sight. And isn't it wonderful when you go to something like a marriage and both parties are prepared? I've heard some stories that's hard to believe. I heard a story one time about a wedding, and it got right down to the point that it was ready for the bride to come in, and she didn't come in, and the group was there, and I guess the groom said, "Well, does anyone else want to be my wife?" And there was a young lady stood up and came up to the front, and she married him. Now, that'd be quite as, I heard it, it's supposed to have been the truth. I don't know. It might have, to me, it just sounds like a story. There's not much preparation for that. But when the two have been preparing and they come to that date, isn't it a beautiful picture? Isn't it going to be a beautiful picture? We know the Lord's been preparing. And if we will prepare our hearts to be in a place to be accepted, isn't that a beautiful thing when that comes together? Yeah, we got to cross that Jordan River, so to speak. We got to cross through that barrier of death. But look what's on the other side. You know, when I was a little guy, I just knew that I would never be able, I knew I wasn't going to get married because I just couldn't stand the thought of kissing a girl in front of a crowd. So I just knew I wasn't. But I'm going to tell you, when it came time for me to cross that Jordan River, it was no problem. And when it comes time for us, if we're really got our heart prepared, you see, when it comes time for us to cross that boundary between here and eternity with the Lord, it's not going to be a big deal. You know, those two young people yesterday, if you had said, "Aren't you scared to stand up in front of somebody? Aren't you afraid?" I think they both would have said, "It don't matter. We don't care if there's one people or 1,000 people out there. We're going to get married." That's the way they were looking at it. And when it comes, if we're prepared, if our hearts are prepared, and we know God is prepared, I'm 100% confident that God has a place prepared for everyone. And when we're prepared in our heart and we're longing for that, and we come up, it's not going to be a big deal. We're going to be willing to cross the river. It's going to be something that we know this is a small bump in the road compared to what's on the other side. I want to be prepared. I don't want to be unprepared. I don't want to be like the guests that were invited. You know, there's an invitation. You know, Jesus said over there that whosoever, I want to read that, John 3 and 16, he said several things here. He said to us, "For God so loved the world." You know, people that get married, they get married because they love one another. He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," whosoever in this world is willing to acknowledge their sinful state, whosoever is willing to come and repent, as our Sunday school lesson and as the last issue of the gospel truth is about repentance, if we're willing to come and repent, and we recognize there's an invitation. There's a king that's inviting me to a marriage. And it's not just a witness, the marriage. It's a marriage that I can be part of. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to be prepared. I want to be in a place that when it comes time, and you know the date, when I remember when Anita and I set the date that we were going to get married, it was like, well, I don't know if that'll ever get here. But it did. And as it got closer and closer, the reality of how quickly it was coming really set in. And you know, that's the way it will be in our life. And I want to be prepared. I want to embrace that instead of try to avoid that. So I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful to the very end. I want each one of you to be faithful. And I want us to, instead of trying to avoid that appointment, I want us to meet it. I want us to be there and be prepared. And I want us to be able to go in with joy into the marriage with the Lamb. You pray for me.